Yet another mass shooting, this time in Odessa, Texas, where a white man in his 30s opened fire randomly on innocent victims. I won't use his name to give him notoriety, but he had failed a background check trying to buy a gun and yet wound up with a so-called assault rifle. It is interesting that the Democrats and mainstream media don't highlight mass shooters who are Democrats. The Odessa shooter was a Democrat and reportedly had a Beto O'Rourke sticker on his car. Is Beto's virulent rhetoric against Donald Trump responsible for sending this man over the edge? Was it Elizabeth Warren's fault that an avid backer of hers committed a mass shooting in Dayton, Ohio? Warren has spoken words against Trump that can inflame her followers. If Democrats are not to blame for the mass shootings by their followers, why the blame upon Donald Trump? I'm asking liberal Democrats who are using mass shootings to attack President Trump, what kind of background check would have prevented this shooting rampage? And why is it Trump's fault when these incidents have been going on for several decades? Perhaps it's time to re-examine our hands-off policy for mentally challenged people until after they have killed someone. Given the number of firearms owned by Americans, there is no way to prevent a troubled person from getting a gun. Should we not begin, then, to take the troubled among us more seriously? Since the recent spate of mass shootings, we are finally seeing these troubled people being rounded up before they kill. It's not that there are more of them today, but that law enforcement is acting quicker and people are beginning to see and report troubled people before they kill. After each of these mass shootings, we hear the same old story. Relatives and friends come out of the woodwork to say they knew the shooter was a danger, but he seemed like a quiet man some of the time, so they didn't say anything to police. We encourage people to come forward with information about someone they feel is a danger to themselves or others. But in this politically correct society, people are afraid to come forward for fear that they will be sued or forced into the limelight. We have to correct that. I dare bet that if any of us protecting the Second Amendment felt that additional gun laws would make a difference, we'd give it more consideration. But it is apparent that the gun laws already on the books are not being enforced, and no new gun law would prevent what happened in Odessa. Democrats are using this excuse as a means of keeping up the attacks upon President Trump. Not everyone is faced with the Raleigh News and Observer and their biased news concerning the president. They're the lucky ones. Every single day, there is a vicious cartoon in that paper lampooning Donald Trump. Not once in a while, not every 2 weeks, every single day, and it's been going on for 2.5 years. All designed to paint a negative picture of the president for their political gains. They're Democrats. Other liberal rag sheets do the same, including USA Today, but not as often as the News and Disturber. Where is the outrage about the weekly carnage in Chicago? Over the Labor Day weekend, 8 people were shot dead, and the number of wounded was in the high teens. That's a scenario that occurs every week in this crime-ridden city that Democrats have controlled for decades. Is it right or proper for the mainstream media to focus on mass shootings elsewhere and not on a steady stream of killings every week in Chicago? Those shooters in Chicago are not being stopped by background checks. Clearly, the great majority of those shooters could not pass a background check. Guns are readily available to those who seek them. It is time that we agree that more gun laws is not the solution. It is a Band-Aid applied after major surgery. Now, I've owned a gun for more than 60 years, and that gun has never shot at anyone. For it to harm someone, it requires me to pull the trigger. To blame the gun is like blaming a volcano eruption on a hiker who dislodged a rock. Take politics out of the gun discussion, and we may find an answer to the problem. In today's commentary, I credit research from Sparta Report, Dennis Prager of National Review, WND, and Town Hall, which I incorporate with my own research. Not all liberal Democrats are violent, but then not all snakes are poisonous. It's the other ones we have to be on alert for. It is pathetic to listen to the multitude of inept Democrats running to unseat Donald Trump as president. While the left preaches hate against this president, they pretend that their violent rhetoric doesn't cause any problems. It's just words from Trump that incite violence. Since Donald Trump was elected president in 2016 and the leftists started throwing public temper tantrums akin to a five-year-old who doesn't get his way, the general consensus in the conservative patriot community was, what do we really have to fear from a group of people with purple and green hair who don't even know which bathroom they should use? But the ongoing vile rhetoric and physical assaults coming from the left requires all of us to prudently reevaluate the realistic threat level these anarchists and their organizations really pose. We need only look at the birth of radical left-wing militancy in the United States that keeps growing wilder and wilder. Although it is beyond the scope of this commentary to go into any real analytical depth on any one particular group regarding their history, tactics, and strategies, I do want to briefly talk about the Weather Underground. Young people have no real history of that lunatic organization, but the Weather Underground shares many characteristics with Antifa and their affiliates, the most obvious being their willingness to attack U.S. government installations. When the Weather Underground movement split up in 1976, several members, including Barack Hussein Obama's mentor Bill Ayers, decided to start a publishing arm called the John Brown Book Club by its core members. It is no coincidence that the Puget Sound John Brown Gun Club of today shares the same name as this notorious organization of domestic terrorism and criminals. The only difference being the word book has been replaced with gun. Here are three common traits that all of these left-wing groups share so you can better understand their motivations and their beliefs and how they have influenced modern-day groups like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the Democratic Socialists of America, not to mention the new Black Panther Party. We have all heard the term social justice warriors time and time again in the mainstream media. But the real genesis of the word comes from counterculture peaceful protest that began in the 1960s and who eventually morphed into the urban guerrilla domestic terror groups by the 1970s. These groups are characterized mainly by Marxist, socialist, utopian fantasies rooted in anti-capitalist, anti-imperialist sentiment. Currently, third and fourth wave feminist organizations like 1 Billion Rising, Code Pink, and Reclaim the Night, along with movements such as Me Too, have joined in the movement with their phrases such as toxic masculinity, evils of the patriarchal system, and misogynistic mentality. They're now commonplace in their rhetoric. While toxic liberal Democrats in the mainstream media pretend that the hate is coming from the right, It is important to listen to the rhetoric from the left designed to inflame and promote hate. Cory Booker says he wants to punch Trump in the nose. Joe Biden wants to beat up Trump behind a barn. Maxine Waters incites others to incite Trump supporters to get in their face. Jimmy Kimmel and other late-night TV clowns joke about assassinating the president. Snoop Dogg made a video about killing Trump and just released a new album whose cover shows Trump's dead body. A very unfunny late-night liberal hack named Bill Maher said that he hoped David Koch of the Koch brothers had died a painful death. If you disagree with a conservative, don't just wish death upon them. Wish for a painful death. Madonna thinks about blowing up the White House. Johnny Depp thinks about killing Trump. An unhinged Bette Midler, a has-been at best, continues to incite violence against Trump. Black Lives Matter chant about killing the police. Fry them like bacon, they shout. Antifa thugs routinely assault conservatives. Ocasio-Cortez and other liberal demagogues call Border Patrol agents Nazis and refuse to condemn violence against them. Representative Steve Scalise nearly died from gunshot wounds from a Bernie Sanders supporter. The squad supports terrorists of Hamas and so-called Palestinians spewing anti-Semitic hate. Rashida Tlaib gave a fiery speech and called the president an inflammatory name. A rabid, enraged mass shooter in Dayton, Ohio, followed up the evil rhetoric launched by Elizabeth Warren against Trump and his supporters by planning and executing a mass shooting at a bar. All of the Democrats running for the presidency are guilty of hate-filled rhetoric against this president. Rhetoric that stirs up the Democrat base and causes the unhinged among them to resort to violence. That is a pattern among Democrats today. They do not have a plan to improve this country, and they resent the improvements that Trump has made. And so they spend all of their time on the campaign trail calling Trump a racist, a Nazi, comparing him to Hitler. And they end their hate speeches by blaming Trump for everything from climate change to the lack of brain matter under the wig of Maxine Waters. I could give you more examples of Democrats inciting hate and violence against Trump, but you get the picture. To see the origins of left-wing violence in America, one has to go further back to the 1920s and 30s, when the Communist Party was beginning to gain traction in America via the labor movement. Violence and subversion were seen as necessary evils to advance the cause of communism, with the Russian Revolution of 1917 being a shining example of what could be accomplished when comrades band together for a common goal. During the Depression era, we saw humanity at its most vulnerable and weakest. It was at that time that the Communist Party bolstered its membership ranks into the tens of thousands in America by exploiting people's hardships, by blaming all of society's ills on the capitalist industrial system. Sound familiar? Fast forward to the 1970s, where groups like the Weather Underground, the FALN and the BLA claimed responsibility for over 2,500 bombings in an 18-month period between 1971 and 1972. Our children are not taught that. They have no idea about that. These bombings were actually followed by some type of public statement that denounced the evils of capitalist and the democratic government. Again, sound familiar? Nothing really changes with leftists. Young people today are not aware of those bombings nor mass shootings back then, that the terror of choice by the left was used at that time. These groups were very adept at using various forms of propaganda to further their cause. In the 1960s, with the advent of television news at its zenith, public protest became a very popular way for these groups to get publicity and notoriety. In the 1970s, it was standard operating procedure for groups like the Weather Underground and FALN to issue communiques after their bombings, which more often than not acted as exploding press releases. Fast forward to today, when the heavily biased leftist media enclaves like CNN and MSNBC give these groups validity and publicity, with biased anchors supporting their violent actions. While at the same time, social media giants like Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube are obvious allies bolstering the leftist ranks. It can be said without exaggeration, then, that the left has the upper hand when it comes to controlling the narrative with their propaganda, while at the same time silencing the opposition's viewpoint via censorship and false labels like hate speech and racist. So after seeing the common traits these organizations have always had, regardless of the time period in which they operated, what's the bottom line as far as violence goes with today's left-wing groups? It can be said with some certainty after perusing the websites of leftist groups in operation today that violence is certainly on the menu and is being prepared with vigor. For the 21st century leftist revolutionary, there is the aptly named Warrior Up website, which by its own description has techniques for sabotaging capitalist infrastructure and industries. Has the mainstream media even told you about these subversive websites manned by the left? Have you ever heard of Warrior Up? To get a sense of where the average leftist is concerning violence, there is an overly biased article from The Guardian in which members of the Puget Sound John Brown Club stated that they were willing to be armed and get violent if need be to protect themselves against right-wing aggression. That is classic blame rhetoric. Since in most videos I can find of Antifa, it is these morons that start fights, not Trump supporters or right-wing groups. They go on to clearly state on their website that they believe in active resistance and that they own, carry, and train with tactically useful rifles, pistols, and body armor. It would behoove all of us in the conservative and patriot communities to keep an eye on these folks. There is no doubt, at least in my mind, that there will be more attacks like the one on the ICE detention centers. And as the 2020 presidential debates and election approach, more attacks on conservatives and Trump supporters as well. The deep division that has opened up between the left, not all liberals, the left, and the rest of the country is so wide and so unbridgeable that there is no way to describe what's happening to us. Left-wing thugs engage in violence and threats of violence with impunity. They shut down speakers at colleges, block highways, bridges, and airport terminals, take over college buildings and offices, occupy state capitals, and terrorize individuals in public places and in their own homes. Try wearing a Make America Great Again hat and see how long it takes for someone on the left to attack you. There is no room for your opinions, only theirs. In order to understand why more violence might be coming, it is essential to understand that left-wing mobs are almost never stopped, arrested, or punished. Colleges do nothing to stop them, and civil authorities do nothing to stop them on campuses or anywhere else. Police are reduced to spectators as they watch left-wing gangs loot stores, smash business and car windows, set fires, and even take over state capitals, as happened in Madison, Wisconsin. It's beginning to dawn on many Americans that some mayors, police chiefs, and college presidents have no interest in stopping the violence. Left-wing officials sympathize with the lawbreakers, and the police, who rarely sympathize with thugs of any ideology, are ordered to do nothing by emasculated police chiefs. Consequently, given the abdication of all these authorities of their role to protect the public, some members of the public will inevitably decide that they will protect themselves and others. The ability of the left to get away with violence is one of the gravest threats to American society in our modern history. Since the Civil War, I can think of only two comparable eruptions of mob violence that authorities allowed. One was when white mobs lynched blacks. The other was the rioting by blacks, such as the Los Angeles riots of 27 years ago and the riots in Ferguson and Baltimore. Today, authorities in what we once proudly proclaimed the land of the free and home of the brave are intimidated to the point of paralysis. And exactly who do these authorities fear? Not the violence. They have made peace with left-wing violence. What they fear is the left-wing media. If Black Lives Matter is forcefully prevented from blocking tens of thousands of cars from entering or leaving San Francisco, the police and authorities will be labeled racist by self-appointed black leaders, a smear that will then be echoed by the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the rest of the left-wing media. Likewise, if a college president requests enough police onto a college campus to ensure that a Heather McDonald, a Charles Murray, or an Ann Coulter can deliver a lecture of their views, some of the student gangsters engaged in violence might be injured, and that college president would then be pilloried by the mainstream media. Furthermore, left-wing violence doesn't succeed only where it takes place. It also succeeds where nothing happens. The left can now shut down places and events just by their threat of violence. Meanwhile, the left-wing press lies about alleged white supremacists in the Trump administration and about an alleged massive surge in anti-Semitism in order to do what the left has done since Lenin: blame others while it alone organizes violence. So here's a prediction for you. If college presidents, mayors, and police chiefs won't stop the left-wing mobs, other Americans eventually will. I hope this will not have to happen, because electing conservatives and not donating money to colleges would be more effective, but it is almost inevitable. Then the left-wing media, the mainstream media, will enter hysteria mode with so-called news that right-wing fascists are violently attacking America. And only then will mayors and college presidents finally order in the police. Life goes better for people who are closer to the truth. God has laid out life so simply that you need only be sensible and all will be well. Destructive organizations and causes are built on anger. Feminism, so-called LGBTQ rights, the Democrat Party today, Black Lives Matter, ISIS, and anti-Trump protests, all consumed with anger. Under our divisive ex-president, Barack Hussein Obama, leftist riots became commonplace. Anger based on lies propagated by liberal media, academics, and politicians ran rampant. CNN pushed unfounded outrage over imaginary racism because blacks are 3 or 4 times as likely as whites to be killed by police. Never mind how blacks act in police confrontations. Yet, when it comes to abortions, CNN claims there is no clear racial divide because CNN supports abortion. Blacks are 3 times as likely as whites to get abortions. But the mainstream media does not care about black lives, except to exploit black anger and ignorance to push a leftist political agenda. Angry people feel like victims, and they identify with others who are angry and emotional, who also feel like victims. If people on the left truly want to save lives, they should be honest about the destruction of anger in their lives and in their families, rather than justify and excuse their anger. Let's be honest. Unless you are as unhinged as they are, leftists don't merely disagree with you. They don't merely feel that you are misguided. They don't think that you are merely wrong. They hate you. They want you enslaved and obedient, if not dead. Once you understand all that, everything that is happening now in America will begin to make sense to you. You are normal, and therefore a heretic. You refuse to bow to their idols, to subscribe to their twisted ideology, and that is unforgivable. You must be destroyed. So go on social media and find a leftist. It's easy. And just say something positive about America, Donald Trump, or Jesus, and they will come swarming after you like a herd of locusts. Engage them, and they will quickly drop their masks and attack you. They will tell you that Christians are idiots and veterans are scum, that normal people are subhumans whose only role should be to labor as serfs to subsidize the progressive elite and its clients, that you should die as painfully as possible to make way for the next progressive man or woman. Understand that when they call Donald Trump illegitimate, what they are really saying is that our desire to govern ourselves is illegitimate. Their real beef is not with Donald Trump. It's with the rest of us, the normal people, who dared to rise up and demand their right to participate in the rule of the country and this culture. The left is mad at Hillary Clinton's deplorables, you and me. Trump just got in the middle between us. They hate you because, defying them, you have prevented them from living up to the dictates of their false religion. Our rebelliousness has denied them the state of grace they seek, exercising their divine right to dictate every aspect of our puny lives. Their sick faith gives meaning to these secular weirdos, giving something that fills their empty lives with a messianic fervor to go out and conquer and convert the heathens. And those heathens are you and me. The left won't say it out loud, at least not yet. But make no mistake, if violence is what it takes for the left to prevail, then violence we will have. You saw it and you were meant to see it. Berkeley's riots were a message about the price of dissent, where loyalists on the left side hold sway, and they seek to hold sway everywhere. Conservatives must understand the enemy, understand that they will exploit your principles and morals to make you disarm yourself, figuratively and literally. Never concede their lies. Don't fall for their manufactured outrage. Most of all, accept the truth that if we let them win, we will spend the rest of our lives on our backs with a giant Birkenstock pressed into our collective faces. They hate us. And however they come at us, we need be prepared to fight back. Don't allow yourself to be looted by false nostalgia for a past period of relative cultural peace that existed only because, at that time, the left was winning. Look at Facebook. Look at Twitter. Their hate is on full display. They can't stop. Their ideology tells them that we are greedy, racist, sexist, homophobic morons who hate science and love Hitler. They've convinced themselves that we want dirty air and rancid water. Never mind that we have to drink that water and breathe that same air. You might think that's a sign of insanity, and I agree. But remember who we're dealing with here. I thank you for joining me today for this commentary. I hope you'll join us every week. You can reach me on email at tom@tomjoyner.net. tom@tomjoyner.net. I'd love to hear from you. I would appreciate your support. I don't ask for money. I don't ask anything from you except to listen, to analyze, to think carefully, and hopefully come to the realization that it is those of us who are willing to stand up, to speak out, that will eventually save this country. I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time, same station.